We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
Today I present the last in this series of addresses on New Testament conversion. This study, however, concerns the case of non-conversion, that of King Agrippa. I have chosen as the subject, Almost a Christian. This record of non-conversion is found in Acts 26, verses 19 through 29. As the apostle addressed the king relating to his own conversion, he said, "Having therefore obtained the help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and the great, saying nothing but what the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should first by the resurrection from the dead, should proclaim light unto the people and to the Gentiles." And then the apostle said, "Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." What does it mean to be almost a Christian? Is it possible for a person to be a believer in Christ and not be a Christian? When the Apostle Paul was addressing the king, he declared, "I know that thou believest." The king responded, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." That's found in Acts 26, verse 28. When Paul said, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" he simply was saying, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as foretold by the prophets?" There is no question about it. In verses 22 through 24 of the text which I have read, Paul certifies the prophets and Moses as proclaimers of Christ, His coming, His death on the cross, His resurrection from the dead, and the glorious gospel of salvation. Then he specifically and pointedly asked, "Do you believe these prophets?" Which was to say, "Do you believe in the Christ, the Son of God? Do you believe that He died for your sins? Do you believe in His resurrection from the dead?" There can be no doubt about the answer. And I say, are you listening now? The Bible records Paul's own conclusion in these words, "I know that thou believest." Really, was King Agrippa a believer? Yes. Was he a Christian? No. There can be no doubt that Agrippa was a believer. From his firm declaration of Jesus Christ, His crucifixion and resurrection, as foretold by the prophets and Moses, Paul was convinced that the king was a believer. "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" That was the question asked by the apostle. Then with the very next stroke of the pen, Luke records Paul's unaffirmative answer, "I know that thou believest." From this record of non-conversion, we see the necessity of faith expressing itself in action in obedience to God's will. There is a theory taught by many religious people today that there is nothing a man can do to be saved, that salvation in Christ is by faith alone. That is, all you need do to be saved is just believe on the Lord, right then and there. The very moment you believe, without any further acts of obedience, your salvation is guaranteed. But my friends, what a fatal delusion. King Agrippa knew that the theory of salvation by faith only was false. Paul the inspired apostle knew that such presumptive conclusions were false. He knew that Agrippa was a believer. He also knew that Agrippa was not a Christian. He was not converted to the Lord. The apostle was attempting to persuade the king to be a Christian, just as he, the apostle, was a Christian. He related his own case of conversion, as related in verses 12 through 29 of this 26th chapter of Acts. Although Luke does not reveal all the details in the record part of Paul's address, one can be sure that the apostle would not have misinformed the king concerning the conditions of his own conversion to Christ, how that he became a Christian. To excellent Festus, Paul declared that he spoke words of truth and soberness, the Bible says in verse 27. The more detailed account of Saul's conversion we found in Acts chapters 9 and 22, which I have previously discussed in this series of addresses. But one thing you must not forget, Saul was informed that he would be told what he must do to be saved, as you read in Acts 9, verse 6. And, my friends, I say, Are you listening? He was not told to believe only. On the contrary, he was told, and I quote, "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22, verse 16. Now some questions. Are you ready for them? If Paul related the case of his own conversion to King Agrippa in his effort to persuade the king to become a Christian, and he did, as already pointed out, did he not speak the truth to the king about his own conversion to Christ? And the Bible says that he did in verse 25. Then he did not inform the king, that is, as a penitent believer, that all he had to do to be saved was just to believe on the Lord. On the contrary, he surely told the king what the Lord required of him as a penitent believer, that is, to be baptized into the name of Christ for the remission of sins. Ladies and gentlemen, the answers and conclusions are inescapable. We do not know just what part of Saul's conversion was the stumbling block to King Agrippa. We do know that he was a believer. The Bible says so. Paul said, "I know that thou believest." We likewise know by inference that he was not baptized into Christ to wash away his sins like Saul. Paul said that "I would to God that the king would follow my example," so to speak. But he did not do that. Who knows? Perhaps the Lord's command to be baptized for the remission of sins, to wash away sins, was the dividing line between Agrippa's becoming a Christian and not becoming a Christian. Regretfully, this has been the terminal point for thousands who refuse to become Christians. As unbelievable as it may sound, I tell you that I had a man tell me one time, "I'll die and go to hell before I'll be baptized." Yet, that person claimed to be a believer in Christ. Believe it who can. Let me tell you what Jesus said about it. Our Lord said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," John 14:15. And again, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 7:21. And again, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Luke 6:46. We must not overlook the great fundamental truth revealed by the inspired Apostle John when he said, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." 1 John 5:3. My friends, how could any person say that he really loves the Lord and truly believes in him, but refuses to obey the Lord's word? It would be well to remember this divine declaration that the Pharisees and lawyers rejected for themselves the counsel of God, being not baptized of him. Luke 7:30. Who knows? King Agrippa, who was a believer, could very well have rejected the Lord as his Savior by refusing to obey the Lord's command to be baptized to wash away his sins like Paul. As far as we know, King Agrippa went into eternity unprepared to meet the King of Kings on that judgment day. Almost a Christian is not a Christian. There is a theory taught by many religious leaders that there isn't anything a person can do to be saved. Nothing he can do. Just wait for the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. Then his heart is sanctified, set apart from sin, and he becomes a Christian, a child of God. No doubt you have heard men on the radio and television saying, "Just lay your hands on the radio. Just hold up your hands in the audience. Just believe on the Lord right now. Accept him as your personal Savior. Nothing else, nothing more. Now you are saved. Now you are converted to Christ." But my beloved friends, people are deceived. You will never read anything like that in the Bible in your life. It isn't there. King Agrippa was no exception. And you may be sure that none of us today are exceptions. Although honest and sincere people may be, such actions and reactions constitute non-conversion, just as much non-conversion as the case of King Agrippa. In such cases, I'm afraid that many people are converted to the preacher, not to the Lord. The question is, if all the people who are misled to believe that all they need do to be saved is just to believe on the Lord, I say, if they were all told the truth and its completeness, like Paul told Agrippa, how many would really obey the Lord? How many would really be converted to the Lord? No doubt many would be like King Agrippa, almost persuaded, but not a Christian, not truly converted to the Christ. Yet, of course, others who are taught the truth gladly accept the Lord's word and become Christians. Men are persuaded to become Christian by the preaching of the gospel. I ask the question, shall we attempt to persuade God or men? The king said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me. The power of persuasion was through Paul, the preacher of the gospel, not by the Holy Spirit directly from heaven. Paul himself declared that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. You read that in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. There are those who try to persuade God to accept people as His children, whether or not they have been born again, through obedience to the Lord's word. But Peter said that men are born again by obeying the truth, the word, the seed of the kingdom. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. These are the people, in this very text, who repented and were baptized for the remission of sins, as revealed in Acts 2:38 and 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1 and Acts chapter 2 and verses 9 through 11. Again, I remind you, Agrippa said the power of affecting his heart came from Paul and his message. You read that in verse 27 of the text. Not by a direct intervention or communication of the Holy Spirit. Yes, I have heard preachers plead with God and beg God, save these people who wait before you. But my friends, you never read anything like that in the Bible, did you? I have heard preachers plead with God and people of their audience in this fashion, for example, to the people. It would be said, God is willing and anxious to save you. He will save you now. God is just waiting to save you. And then to God, these people who have responded, Lord, come before thee seeking salvation. Save them now, Lord. God, save them now. Such a plea, my friends, may go on for many minutes and sometimes even hours as people wait to be saved. Some have been deceived. Honest souls go on their way without the joy of salvation. It would seem that by the time the preacher persuaded the people that they should be saved, God was no longer interested in saving them. Therefore, they must go on their way lost. Some preachers, it seems, spend much of their time trying to persuade God or the Holy Spirit, whereas we need to persuade men. The Apostle Paul himself said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. It is not necessary to persuade God. Our God is willing and anxious and ready to save. Provisions have already been made through the sacrifice of His Son. We need to persuade men to accept the Christ and obey His will, just like Paul attempted to persuade Agrippa. It is not necessary for me to persuade God to save you, but it is altogether necessary for me to persuade you to obey God if you shall ever be saved. Almost a Christian is not a Christian. Paul was a believer and a Christian. Agrippa was a believer and not a Christian. There can be no doubt that Paul was a Christian. The Bible leaves no doubt that Agrippa was not a Christian. The king himself said that he was not a Christian. A believer but not a Christian. Almost a Christian was the king's own admission. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that a person cannot be a Christian unless he is a believer? But every believer is not a Christian. I repeat, Agrippa was a believer. Paul said, I know that thou believest. But Agrippa admitted that he was not a Christian, and Paul said that he knew that he was not a Christian. The Bible leaves no doubt about the matter. The king himself said that he was not a Christian. A believer, but not a Christian. Almost a Christian was his admission. Paul said that the king was not a Christian. The apostle attempted to persuade the king to become a Christian just as he was a Christian. The apostle concluded, I would to God that whether with little or much, not thou only, but all them that hear me this day, might become such as I am, except these bonds. That's in Acts 26, verse 29. Question, Paul, what are you? The answer in unmistakable terms, firmly and clearly, I am a Christian. I am a Christian. The very thing that Paul was attempting to persuade the king to become, that is, a Christian. As a Christian, Paul was determined to wear and honor no other name but the name of Christ. The apostle warned members of the church in Corinth about sectarian and party names, denominational names, which are very divisive, and certainly not an honor to Christ. In the writing of the apostle to these early Christians, he said this, Now this I mean, that each of you saith, I of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized into the name of Paul? That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. The conclusion from this inspired statement of the apostle is obvious. Christ was crucified for you and not Apollos. Therefore, wear and honor the name of Christ and not Apollos. You were baptized into the name of Christ and not of Paul. Therefore, wear and honor the name of Christ and not Paul. Paul's inspired argument is, Christ is not divided. Therefore, you should not wear and honor the name of men and institutions of this earth. Wear and honor the name of Christ only. Paul was an apostle, a great man of God, but he said, Don't wear my name. I tell you, my friends, no wonder the apostle Peter declared in 1 Peter 4:16, If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. It is right to be a Christian only. That was the very thing that Paul was attempting to persuade the king. I ask you, are you a Christian? You know, as far as the record indicates, Agrippa went into eternity unprepared to meet God, although almost a Christian. Almost is but to fail.